Namaste. It's great to have you here this morning. It's great to see all of you here this morning as we come together as a church, to see all your different smiling faces, to see all of us come in warming ourselves from the cold, because it's got cold kind of quick, hasn't it? But it's great to see a community of people that come from different places with different backgrounds, from different cultures, from different ethnic groups who speak different languages, that as we come together as a loving community of Christ to be the church, it is a wonderful and awesome day for us to do that. And it's a wonderful and awesome day for us to come and know what it means, not just to be church, but to be individuals who know what living church or living that faith in Christ is. How that living gives life and grace to our lives, gives us meaning, but also how we can share and give life and grace to others around us. And we know how important that is. But also we know that that is not an easy thing, is it? To be those who are disciples of Jesus Christ, to live in the ways of love and grace, and sometimes how easy it is. Be it large church or small church or medium church or large neighborhood or small family or large family, how sometimes it is easy to lose track of what love is about in our life. But what is really the important thing in our life? How we might lose track of that. Last week, for those of you here, if you remember, I told a story about a woman named Aunt Betsy. Anybody remember that story? A wonderful story about a woman in her later years who had had a rough life. Her husband died when they were young, and she didn't know how to run the wealth or the farm that she had been given. Another gentleman came in to marry her and took her for all she had. And how that kind of pushed her over the edge a little bit. And she wasn't quite all there. And how her community and even her church was embarrassed. Not reaching out to care, but were a little embarrassed of who she is and what she did. And didn't surround her with the love she needed. And how they rediscovered what it meant to be church. How, you know, their own small community, you think that's kind of easy to do, but they rediscovered how they needed to love one of their own who lived just down the road. And how she came to know that those church people love me. And I have a place to go and sit on Sunday morning where I'm welcome, no matter who I am or what I did. And she did some embarrassing things, if you remember. And that didn't push them back, because they knew who they were and what they were about. When we continue to grow as followers of Jesus Christ, it is important for us to continue to grow in the ways of love and grace and not take for granted just because we come to church or just because we know what Scripture says or we know the things of this world that we're living in the ways of love and grace that Jesus has taught us. It is important for us to continue in all of our lives to get our vision straight, to get our goals straight, to know who we are. Because like that small church, it's often easy to lose track. And even though we are very knowledgeable about many things in our world, and even in our scripture and church and theology, even though we're very knowledgeable, if we don't have that sense of wisdom of how to take what God has given us and live it in our world, in the ways of love and grace that truly give us life, how easy it is to get lost. Even when we think everything is okay and everything seems to be fine, we can get lost. How important is it for us to regain wisdom and not just knowledge? When we think of our religious history, do you know anybody that was known for wisdom? Do you know anybody? Say that again.
Solomon.
Do y'all remember Solomon? He was known for his wisdom. Are you sure? No, I was thinking of Lillian Howe.
Sure.
You don't know Lillian?
She was her second choice.
She was the second choice? Well, then we're good. How many of you remember Solomon? Not personally. Solomon, King David's son. David was king. We know a lot of that story, Goliath and, a bunch of stuff that went with that. Solomon, his son, came to be king. And God came to him and said, Solomon, I like what you're doing. A pretty good act here. You've got a pretty good thing going on. And I'll give you whatever you want. And as Mary Helen shared with us today, Solomon said, I want to know. And not just knowledge. I want an understanding in my mind. So that I might govern with wisdom. and discern between good and evil. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for power. And yet, the Scripture tells us that God was so pleased that He asked that He might rule with wisdom, that He might know between good and evil, that He gave Him wisdom. Scripture tells us that. He gave Him wisdom, but also He gave Him riches. He gave Him honor and He gave Him power. And that's awesome. That's great. Especially if the story ends there. But as we know, the story doesn't end well. Or it doesn't end there. His nation did well because of His knowledge and His wisdom. Economically, they did very well. They formed treaties with other nations around them. They had an alliance with Egypt. But a funny thing happened on the way to the palace. Or I should say, a funny thing happened with the palace. In the first reading today from Deuteronomy, if you heard the instructions that God gives Israel when they're starting to form themselves as a community, He says, you must have a king for yourself from your own. But that king must not acquire many wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away. Now, gentlemen, be careful about that one, just so you know. All right? Because it's easy to blame, isn't it? Well, that's not what we're talking about here. But do not require many wives for yourself. Also, silver and gold he must not acquire in great quantity for himself. And at the end of the reading it says, neither shall he exalt himself over other members of the community, men or women. Sounds good, right? And yet, Solomon, who God himself gave wisdom to, he started his rule. Things were going really well. And it was time to build the temple of God. Because that was Solomon's job to do that. So Solomon built the temple and he got thousands of people to work on that. You know, laborers, artisans, and even slaves. And it was such an awesome temple. It took them seven years to build. What an immense, beautiful structure that may have been. But Solomon also knew that he needed a place to live. And he needed a place to stay. And he needed a place to rule from. So they got thousands of workers together and they built a palace for him. And it took 13 years to build that. 7 years for God, 13 years for him. Is that right? I imagine God took notice of that, don't you think? And then as we hear later on, as the story goes, it says, as the kingdom developed, as Solomon and the nation developed, they took in much wealth. The weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. And what he did with that gold, King Solomon made 200 large shields of heavy beaten gold. 200. He made 300 smaller shields of beaten gold. The king also made a great ivory throne and overlaid it. You know, he couldn't just sit on ivory. You know, that kingly derriere, not on ivory. It had to be ivory covered with gold. That's what it had to be. And all of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. He couldn't drink out of clay pots. It had to be gold. And then it says later on, and gentlemen, be careful with this one. How many wives was a king supposed to take? Not many, right? Among his wives were 700 princesses. And not only that, but 300 concubines. He had an even 1,000. Now, I might think that may be a bit excessive. But think about that. And it says in that, and again, we need to be careful what this says. It said his wives led him astray, as the Deuteronomy says, you know, don't do that, or they'll lead you astray. But that's not a man or woman thing. Don't get us wrong here. And it says that it put Solomon to the foreign gods. We know the scripture and how it was understood in that time. But I'm guessing this man who took 13 years to build his own temple, who made shields out of gold, who had to sit on gold, who had to drink from gold, he didn't need a lot of encouragement to be led astray. I'm guessing he was far down that road before he said the first, I do, don't you think? This is the one who God gave wisdom to. And he went astray. What should we learn from that? We learn also in the story that God is upset with what Solomon has done. And he comes to him and he turns adversaries against him. And he comes and tells him, you will not be able to keep the kingdom. You will only be able to keep one of the tribes. That's all. And he will tear the kingdom from him. He will raise up adversaries too that took it away from him. And when Solomon passed away, his son came to rule, Rehoboam. Whatever it is, that's his name. Rehoboam, he came to rule, and you would think his son would have seen, his son would have known the wisdom that he saw. But Rehoboam came, and the people of Israel came to him and said, you know, you're going to be king. And we want to follow you. But your dad was a tough guy. He was hard on us. He was tough on us. You know, if you are fair and take it easy, we will follow you. And so Rehoboam met with two sets of advisors. One advisor said, listen to your people. The other one said, no, you got to be tough. You're king. So he went to the people and said, if you think dad was tough, wait till you get a load of me. He used whips on you and I will use scorpions. And guess what? There was a rebellion. Does that surprise anybody? But we're talking about the house that got wisdom from God. How they fell about by the wayside. And how easy that is, even for us this day. So now, to the wisdom of the world, Lillian Howe. I'm surprised you don't know her. She's not the wisest person in the world, I'm sure. But Lillian Howe is about 90 years old now. In 1929, she was 10 years old. Her father worked for a Kroger's grocery store in Cincinnati, Ohio, and when the Depression hit, jobs were gone. And they had to decide what they were going to do for themselves. You know, they were broke. They were poor. They didn't know what to do. So finally they thought to themselves, well, the only thing we can do is we need to move in with somebody. We don't have enough money to take care of ourselves. And they had family living in Virginia at the time. So her father sold all that they had, bought a Model T. Do you remember the Model T's? I'm sure y'all bought one out when it came out new, right? Bought a Model T. She said, we drove back to Virginia on difficult roads. Sometimes we drove where nothing was paid. Sometimes we drove where there was nothing. And the father sold everything he had to buy that Model T, except her mother had an ivory dresser set that was a family heirloom. Beautiful piece. And they kept that and they took that. But they traveled and they traveled. It was about a 3-day trip. But about the second day, they ran out of money. And they pulled up to a store where they could get groceries and they could get gas, which she says was 10 cents a gallon. Can I get an amen for that? But they had nothing. And her dad went to her mom and said, right? It's ivory, just like the king's throne. An ivory dresser said, we've got a pawn it. There's nothing else we can do. So they pawned that beautiful, that heirloom ivory dresser set that they had. And Miss Howe says she remembers that night is that they had to sleep outside near the road and how there were wildcats, bobcats screaming those days in the mountains, you know, near Virginia, and how she was scared to death, but she sat around the fire with her dad and how she felt comforted and strengthened by that. And they went on, and finally they came to their family. And she said, I remember that night. When we got there, we were so welcome. It had nothing. We were so welcomed. It felt so good to have somebody care about you. It felt so good to have somebody love you. It felt so good to have somebody who wanted you. But most of all, I said, it felt so good that we could share together. And she said she remembers that night, 1929, the warmth and the security she felt in the bed that her family had provided for her that night during the toughest time. Now let me ask you today, would you like to have what Solomon had or what Lillian had? Which would you rather have? Do you want the throne of ivory and gold? Do you want those shields made of gold? We're not even going to do the wide thing. All right. Or do you want to be in a place where you know not only those in your life, those who you go to visit, those who are there when you are in need, but God Himself loves you, cares for you, and will do what they can for you. Which do you want? And which do you give your life to? You know, I was listening to the news this week, and I was listening to the news about an investment company that's huge in our country. Huge. Had all kinds of investment knowledge like I can't even imagine. But yet I hear when certain investment instruments came out, the return on those seemed so good that they couldn't resist going that direction. And it seemed okay, but still, when times turned and these investment instruments looked like they were going to fail, this huge, knowledgeable company, still, the fees and what came back from that was so good, they couldn't let it go. And that company fell like Solomon. We know. That company fell like Solomon. In the gospel reading today, what was read to us, we hear Jesus sending out his disciples. You know, sending them out to confront evil in the world, to ask people to repent. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. You know, you can get punched in the nose for that kind of thing. He sent them out to do some difficult things, and guess what he prepared them with? He says, take no bread, no bag, and no money. Don't take anything. I mean, that's not leadership. He sent them out ill-prepared. And yet, what it tells us in the Gospel of Luke in the same reading is they came back with joy. They didn't come back with anything else. They came back with joy because they knew. They knew they were part of the love and grace of God Himself through Christ Jesus. And they didn't need a thing for that. They knew joy. And they didn't need anything else. You know, sometimes an awful lot of something can be what? A whole bunch of nothing. Right? Sometimes an awful lot of something can be a whole lot of nothing. But on other times, nothing can be an awesome something, can it? Jesus Christ had nothing. And not only he had nothing, he had so much nothing. There was nobody to stand for him, and he went to a cross. He had nothing, not even his life. But out of that came a something that you and I will never be the same because of. And so what do you want to do with your life? Do you want an awful lot of something? You know, there are ways to do that, even in hard economic times. Or do you want a whole bunch of nothing in which you know the love and the security and the grace of Christ Jesus? What do you want in your life? And especially these days, in the hard times we have, it is an opportunity, a faith opportunity, to get ourselves straight with ourselves. Not to feel guilty because we've been done something wrong, but get ourselves straight so that we can go on the path of love and grace, the path we really want to go on, that will not lead us astray. So as we are in these times, and as we're approaching that holiday in December, what's it called? Christmas. As we are approaching Christmas, let's start this way. What do you want for your season? What do you want for your Christmas season? In the next few weeks, I want to talk about that. And I know I'm a little early. It's not quite Christmas. But if the malls can do it, I can do it too. What do you want for Christmas? So I hope to see most of you back next week. Because did you know how Christmas is like a good steak? Did you know that? I'll see you next week. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the many ways you touch our lives. We thank you for the hope and the possibility that you give us. We thank you for the resources, the money and the things we have that can help us and live. Not that we throw those out, but Lord, help us continue to get them in perspective. And as we are about to enter into this holy season of Advent, of preparation for hope and the birth of a child, that we might get our hearts and our minds straight, and that we might walk in the ways of love, in the ways of grace, in the ways of true life. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please now stand for our closing prayer? This day that we might gain that wisdom of Jesus Christ, let us go forth to love and serve our God and love and serve each other. Amen.